from the opening versicle of the Malan Nations Brotherhood Daily Office. The Lord called to him those he wanted, and we came to him. Let's try this. Please respond, and we came to him. The Lord called to him those he wanted. I want to begin by acknowledging the level of care that this parish and many different communities here and afar has been providing care for Brother John in these past few years, especially for the pastoral care team here at this parish, Father Captain and Mother Joyce, who offered advanced care planning for John in the last few years. To John's friends, Brandon Dand and John Fullerton and others who continue to stay very faithful to John in these last years when communications has not been easy. To his Niska family, whom I'm so pleased to see so many of you are here. John doesn't have any blood-related relatives, but you and we have been his family. Thank you. There are a few reasons why I have always felt close to Brother John throughout my entire ordained ministry. And surprise, it all began here at St. James. It would be hard for me to remember John without thinking about his lifelong friendship with Father David Retter, whom many of you knew, who welcomed me to St. James and supervised my curacy. The friendship they first developed way back when they were attending Trinity College in Toronto, and guess with who else? Bishop Anne Tottingham. Continued through their ministry among the Nitska in the Ness Valley, and had stood the test of time and geography when they later followed their respective call to serve in different parts of the world. And when David died very suddenly in 2005, I drew the lot to deliver the sad news to John, who was in Honiara. Within a week, John stood on this same pulpit as the preacher at his best friend's Requiem Mass. And since that day, John took up the mantle left behind by David and became my surrogate mentor. And when my partner Dave and I decided to tie the knot in 2010, there was no better choice for a preacher than Brother John. And this is a long way to say how truly humbled I am standing here today. 3 weeks ago, I also had the privilege to be the cell phone holder during the last week of John's life at Mount St. Joseph Hospital and the Cottage Hospice, to bear witness to the love of Christ shared by Tatsu John and his brothers in Tabalier and also in London, England. I have learned that Tatsu means brother in the indigenous language of the Solomon Islanders, and is both a respectful and endearing term for how member of the Melanesia Brotherhood was recognized within the society in Melanesia and other regions the brothers serve. As many of you may know, John has been struggling with his memory quite badly in the last few years. One of the greatest sufferings coming out of that was being isolated from his wider network of friends because he no longer was able to answer his cell phone, which had been, since his return from the Solomon Islands, his gateway to connect with all his relations in different parts of the world. And if you know John, you realize that this network is huge and stretches across oceans and continents. One unforgettable moment I had was connecting John with Father Richard Carter through video chat. Father Richard was a former chaplain of the Melanesian Brotherhood, who now serve in London, England at St. Martin's in the Field. For a window of just a few minutes, John snapped out of his restlessness and agony and returned to his old gentle self, speaking the Solomon Islands pidgin to his old friend. It was delightful to witness. They read the morning office from the Brotherhood prayer book together, offered prayers for each other, and John blessed Richard while reaching out to the cell phone screen to touch him on the screen before signing off. His friends from Tabalier, the Brotherhood headquarters, including Archbishop Leonard de Weir, also got to visit with him briefly with prayers and songs. The level of tenderness and mutual devotion to each other's life were so evident. For a moment, I felt that I was witnessing a mutual feeding of each other's souls of the finest kind and of the highest degree, and tears rushed to my eyes. Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Feed my sheep." "Feed my sheep" also happens to be the title of a course in pastoral counseling Tasujon developed for the Melanesians Brotherhood back in 2001, when John was prepping for one of his many trips to Solomon's. One time, out of curiosity, I asked for a copy of the course while he was mass producing them on the photocopier. And allow me to indulge you a little into John's charism as a tutor. Lesson 1, Jesus the Good Shepherd. What is a sheep? Sheep and goats were important to the people in early Bible times. To have a large number of sheep and goats was a sign of being rich. A sheep to the Jews was a valuable as a pig to many people in Melanesia. What is a shepherd? We see then the shepherd believes that each sheep is important to him. He must be strong and courageous. He must be patient. He must put the needs of the sheep before his own needs, even when this means not getting any sleep or facing danger. and even death. End of excerpt. That brought tears to my eyes too. These are not mere words in a course book. Back in 2003, seven brothers of the Malay Nations Brotherhood were kidnapped and murdered while on a peacemaking mission to persuade the rebel leader to disarm. Tasu John and his brother know what facing danger and even death is all about. The brothers knew what losing some of their dearest and the associated traumas were like. Still, when KK, the rebel leader, eventually surrendered, the Malay Nations Brotherhood found a way to forgive him and other perpetrators of violence. Father Richard Carter, in his book, In Search of the Lost, wrote, "If you ask us how this community can forgive KK and Kawa, I do not know. And yet when I see Christ in my brothers, I realize they are holding no hatred or bitterness, but are free in a way KK and Kawa are not. Thus, strangely, even hatred can be transformed into compassion and mercy for those who are still prisoners." Jesus said a second time to him, "Tend my sheep." John preached no-frills and deeply relatable sermons. You get a glimpse of that in the excerpt I read earlier. It's near to pointless to talk about sheep in the Solomon Islands, but just a mention of a pig, the imagination goes wild. I recall hearing many stories about pigs in Tabalia, and John struggled to see them being eaten. Looking back at his earlier life, it took John quite some years and a few seasons of hard discernment to discover his true calling in teaching and in accompaniment. Once he realized that, he devoted every single minute of the rest of his life to serving as a teacher and accompanier in Christ. When John left the Cathedral Church of the Redeemer in Calgary, he took a leave from ministry and worked in the kitchen at the Victory House, a home for people with chronic mental health challenges next door to this church, this way. I remember him telling me that he had a good time working at the Victory House. It's like his sabbatical. Like this story from the last chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus has a way to reach us in our confusion and restore our place within the community of the Beloved. I wonder if that was John's experience at the Victory House when his brokenness and the brokenness of others became an incubator for them to listen deeply to the voice of Christ the Beloved. John left Victory House to become the Anglican chaplain in Vancouver School of Theology, a role that allowed him to tend his call to be a teacher and an accompanier. From there on, he got literally snatched to become the acting principal of Bishop Patterson Theological College in Honiara, which happens to be the next door neighbors of the headquarters of the Malay Nation Brotherhood, and the rest is history. In our gospel story, Jesus came to his guilt-ridden and grief-stricken friends and met them exactly where they were. And he speak peace to them to set them free. To Simon Peter, Jesus offered him a different narrative of their relationship from, "I do not know this man," to, "You know that I love you." And that very act to acknowledge his limited and imperfect love of Christ was deemed enough. In fact, good enough for Jesus and reckoned as faith. And in that very moment, Peter's guilt of cowardice and betraying his friends and most beloved teacher was instantly exorcised. And Jesus said to him a third time, "Feed my sheep. And P.S., you better be ready to follow me and carry my cross." And Peter did, and so did Tazu John as he stretched out his hands and let someone else fasten a belt around him and take him where he did not wish to go in the last few months. Father Richard, in his book, used the term brave humility to describe the quality that is a unique expression of the Melanesian Brotherhood. John's life reflects this brave humility beautifully and with added tenderness. In Richard's announcements of Tazu John's death to the members of the Brotherhood, he wrote, "He was a true brother, a man of deep humility. He lived with such simplicity to the very end, until there was nothing left to separate him from the Lord he loved and he served. He had only his black shirt and trousers and his Brotherhood medal, his sash, no pride nor possessions, just ready to let go of all, to be held by God forever." Friends, our dying, freed of any notions of what we believe, whatever we believed to be a good death, if there is such a thing as a good death, can become the painful birth of a deeper humanity rooted in the passion of Jesus Christ for the sake of a groaning creation yet to be reborn. And John would no longer be taken to where he did not want to go, for Father Richard Nogier and Brother Nelson will bring him home. The Lord calls to him those he wanted, and John came to him. Amen.